Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We're going to go with the playoff word as well. So that'd be playoffs. Yes. And to help us with that, from NFL.com, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Eric Edholm. Eric, great to have you back with us.
You guys sound a little down. What's can I help pick you up at all? Is there anything I can do?
Yeah. Give me a quarterback that can help this team win.
There
for
it
the
is.
Next decade.
That'll do it, Eric.
Done. I'll put the order in now.
Thank you.
And what are you ordering?
Good question. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the million-dollar question for the offseason. How did the Browns steady a position that has, you know, it's obviously not an ideal year for veteran options right now. You know, if you believe that Sam Darnold was a wild card option at one point, obviously the last 2 weeks have maybe changed some people's opinion on that. The draft has a million questions and very few, I would say, sure things. You know, the trade market, unless you're interested in somebody like Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins, they're, again, limited appealing options for any team seeking a quarterback, and the Browns aren't the only one.
I don't know. I'm just looking at this trying to figure out, should the Browns bring in a veteran quarterback, or should they draft a quarterback at number two, or, you know, should they wait till a little bit later in the draft? And it's almost mind-numbing because we're going to sit here for the next couple of months, and this is all we're going to talk about.
Oh, no, it's not. There's baseball season starting too, Eric, but, you know.
Do you know what city you're in? I'm just checking, Jeff. Do you
sorry,
know
I can only help so much, guys. I'm sorry. That's all. Yeah, I'm only I'm a unitasker here.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, the veteran versus rookie question is a fascinating one because, obviously, the rookie route feels like the more economically sound version. I mean, obviously, if you – find somebody who has been either like a provisional starter or a bridge quarterback or a, you know, whatever you want to call them, that they're kind of stuck in that purgatory of, you know, not really truly being considered a starter, but maybe the Browns see something and you can get a veteran for cheap. That would be, you know, if they do well, that would obviously be a sort of a found treasure option there. But the draft is the more appealing long-term vision. You have to ask yourself, obviously you're in a position to draft one of the top two quarterbacks in this class, but is it the right one? Do you believe in either one of them? Is there a second or third round option that maybe is a little bit more appealing from a value standpoint? And there's a lot to sort out at that spot right now. I know Quinn Ewers just thrown his name in there.
Yep.
We have a lot of, you know, I would say, volatility right now, not knowing. I mean, I think a lot of teams that don't need quarterbacks will tell you there may not be somebody that they would normally consider in the top 10. And that's not a consensus, but that's sort of the vibe I'm getting in talking to people.
Eric, if you're watching Monday night and you're watching Notre Dame and you're watching Ohio State, I mean, you've got Will Howard and Riley Leonard both going to the Senior Bowl, which will be, 2 weeks here. So how diligent, if you're a Browns fan, do you need to lock in on those guys should the Browns decide not to pick a quarterback at number two?
Yeah, no, really, really good question there. Those are two of the guys that I think you have to focus on. I would maybe say that, you know, each comes with some questions, and each has maybe less of a – you know, it's interesting. I've kind of changed my pitch a little bit on Will Howard. I feel like there's – I've heard some people say, like, look, it's not Josh Allen, but this is a big kid with some athleticism who can throw. He's not really a runner, but he can run if you need him to. He's obviously got the physical traits you're looking for. Is he going to be a high-level processor and passer at the next level? I probably give him more of a chance to be that than I would Riley Leonard. But mm-hmm. Leonard's a crafty guy. He's obviously very good in the, you know, the short yardage running game. They've leaned on him a lot for that. I think some of that can translate to the NFL. Not all, but some of it. But he's not special in any one way, I don't think. I mean, maybe you say his intangibles are special, and I'm fine with somebody saying that. But I don't know that there's anything that you just hang your hat on and say, this is the next level passer who's going to get us to that. That at least with Josh Allen, again, I'm not saying these guys are that, but with, you could see the potential in college. Like, it was ugly at times. Jordan Love, same thing. You know, there were times when you just sort of gritted through the tape and ugh. But you had to consider who they were playing with. You had to consider a lot of factors. I don't know that I'm watching either one of those guys and saying, oh, they're being held back. Obviously, they're on two very good football teams. So, sure. And they're a part of it. But I don't know that I'm going to fall in love with either one of them.
Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com. You threw out a name earlier that we'll be digging into more, and I think everybody else will in the NFL, and that's Kirk Cousins. I think the perception is that Kirk was not good in Atlanta. Through nine games, the Falcons were 6-3. Yep. And he had thrown 17 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And then from that point on, in the next 5 games, he threw 1 touchdown pass and 9 interceptions.
Yeah.
Is he toast? Did he turn into a pumpkin? What happened? Because through 9 games, he was pretty good with the Falcons.
Yeah. Early in the season, like if you watch their week 1 game against Pittsburgh, you could see he was in the short shotgun, you know, the pistol formation a lot, didn't feel real comfortable. It's not something he had done. I think they were trying to protect him with the Achilles injury from the year before a little bit. Movement skills looked a little labored. Wasn't necessarily stepping into throws. And I felt like that may have gotten a little better over time, but there were still times when he seemed to be throwing frisbees out there, especially on those perimeter shots, like when he was trying to hit a deep comeback or a deep out or something like that. Those are tough throws outdoors, you know, that sort of thing, and, you know, into the wind, whatever. And some of those throws hung up there. I think defenses, this is a little bit anecdotal, but I think defenses started really squatting on the short stuff. They were not thinking that Kirk Cousins could beat you deep or could hit you with those kind of those rail shots on a line that really expose your secondary or whatever. I felt like teams just sort of saw the book on him as we're gonna make him beat us deep. We're gonna dare him to throw over our heads, and he couldn't do it. You know, the interceptions started piling up. You know, his sort of pocket sense deteriorated a little bit. I don't think the blocking and play calling were anything inspiring. There were some other issues there, but had a pretty good environment. You know, good weapons, good run game, some individual good linemen. It just, like you said, it kind of went off a cliff a little bit. So you have to ask yourself, if you're an NFL team, do I believe it was Achilles related, scheme related, or is this the sign of a quarterback kind of stepping up to the 18th tee of his career? You know what I mean? Where is he, and how much is that of that is fixable for next year?
And Eric, if you're the Browns and you're Kevin Stefanski and you have a history with Kirk Cousins and he thrived playing with you as one of your coaches, you've got to ask those questions this offseason, yeah, don't you? Because he's going to be readily available.
He is, and there aren't going to be it's not like there are going to be a lot of teams just banging down Atlanta's door making offers and such. So there are specific places like Cleveland that I think you can talk yourself into, and it would make some sense. And if you can do kind of what Pittsburgh did with Russell Wilson with Denver and say, yeah, we'll take him on. You guys take care of his salary. You pay that, and we'll make this thing happen. So there are possibilities like that I think exist. Kirk being obviously probably near the top of the list among the veteran options, but I wouldn't feel comfortable. Obviously, the Falcons didn't. You know, no. They signed him to the massive deal and still draft Michael Penix. So we were all saying, what are they doing?
Exactly.
Kind of look smart now, right? Or at least, you know, not as harebrained as we sort of thought at the time. And I think you have to buttress that acquisition with a rookie.
Eric, what'd you think of the Browns hiring Tommy Rees or elevating Tommy Rees into the offensive coordinator position. And I think most of us think this means Kevin's going back to calling plays.
I would think so, right? That makes that makes perfect sense. And obviously Kevin's vision and what they've had at quarterback haven't matched up, and that includes Deshaun Watson, obviously. It hasn't always sort of been a perfect fit. Now, there have been times, obviously, where it has worked, and you say, yeah, that's what we want to see. And him being back in the saddle a little bit and kind of, I don't want to say grooming Reese, but, you know, putting him in a position where he's not having to. He can help design the offense. He can help, you know, coordinate things, but on a play calling down and out basis, it might be Kevin's job again, which, look, I mean, if I were in his spot, I would probably do something similar in the sense that, yeah, you want to be able to trust your guys, but this is somebody who's, I wouldn't say has this sort of unapproachable, like, I mean, you can look at Tommy Reese's credentials and question whether he should be an offensive coordinator. You can also listen to compliments from people who have said he's a bright offensive mind, could be the next Joe Brady, whatever you want to say. You know, both could be true. Right now he lacks experience, and he also could be great one day. So if you're entering a season where your job is potentially on the line and you want to button everything up, yeah, maybe you start out calling plays and see how things go and, you know, adjust from there.
Eric Edholm joining us, NFL.com, lead draft writer, also does NFL Power Rankings, where you have the number one seeds, 1 and 2, Kansas City, Detroit. Is that your Super Bowl, Eric?
And that was my revised midseason Super Bowl. I feel like I've been asked about 12 times during the year, okay, what is your Super Bowl pick now, right? Mm-hmm. After we know it. And it's great that I get so many chances to strike out, you know, but I'll say this. As much faith as the Lions have built up, and a lot of us have watched them this year and everything they've kind of overcome. And I mean, this Washington team comes in with nothing to lose. Like, they're riding high. They have a rookie quarterback who doesn't know he should be playing, you know, he shouldn't be playing at this level. And, you know, the moment should be too big for him and all that. And I've thought Dan Quinn has been a top 10 coach for a long time. Even when he wasn't a head coach, I've always thought he was a very, you know, balanced guy. I think somebody who the players can relate to, schematically makes sound decisions. You know, I support him, and I think they're still a few pieces short. They're kind of where the Lions were a few years ago. So I'm just saying, of the two number one seeds, I would say Detroit has the scarier matchup. And, you know, look, I mean, the NFC's – I'd say the AFC probably has more – you know, whoever wins that Buffalo-Baltimore game is going to be a load for the Chiefs as well. So, you know, that's the last pick I made was Chiefs-Lions maybe 6-8 weeks ago. But so I'll stick with it, but I certainly don't know that it's going to be chalk across the board.
Great to have you with us, Eric. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Eric. Keep enjoying the offseason.
Oh, thanks, we Eric. Always do here in Cleveland.
It's a long one here, so we're good.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Kevigan on Tommy Reese.
Hi, Coach Kevigan.
Hello, Andy.
How are you?
Yeah, we're doing well, Andy.
Good. I was
concerned. Really working hard to find our way through the snow and really be able to dig out to actually find the grass, though I did hit it with my car this morning.
Oh, you found the grass?
I did, with my wheel.
Funny, our dogs can find the grass, too.
They find my garbage can lids, but that's a different story for another day.
Coach, what'd you think about Tommy Reese being promoted as offensive coordinator? I mean, you did it. We're assuming that it was you and not Andrew Berry or the thought partner or the Haslams.
Yeah, Jeff, Tommy has an incredible football mind. He is extremely bright and has been around the game his entire life.
Mm-hmm. His dad used to work for the Browns in personnel.
Before joining our staff, he established himself as one of the top assistant coaches in football. Last season, he transitioned into our tight end room and with our pass game, and he did not miss a beat.
You know, Coach, I did hear that he was calling plays prenatal.
Andy just interrupted your statement, Coach. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I just wanted to let you know.
Andy, aren't we all making statements prenatal, hence the reason there are cravings during pregnancies?
This is true. I thought at one point when I was prenatal, I was going to be a kicker.
Back to the statement. We have other things to do.
It's good.
Thank you.
It's a good one.
At least my mom thought
you stopped it, didn't miss a beat, Coach.
Yeah, due to injuries, there was a lot of uncertainty at tight end, but Tommy did a phenomenal job with that group and has always had his players ready for game day, despite in some cases only being with the team for a short period of time.
Nice. You mean the coach, the players, not the coach.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Jeff, he is talking about making good use of his time. Can you stop interrupting him?
I'm just helping to guide.
Innovation is such a critical element to the offensive game planning process.
Innovation.
And Tommy brings that. We're all about innovation here inside of the Cleveland Browns facility. Our intent is to build a sound and explosive offense that will put points on the board. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to working with Tommy to reshape the offense in 2025.
So you're looking for more than 18 points a game?
Jeff, I don't like to put numbers on top of things, but we want to be more explosive when we get our offense on the field.
All right. Well, Coach, thank you very much.
Coach, good job. Is it true that, you know, when you sat down and you were taking the job, you said, Tommy, can you hear me? I mean, Tommy, can you really feel me? Tommy, can you see me? And you wave your fingers in front of your face like that, too. And can I help cheer you?
Tommy Reese was the offensive coordinator for the Crimson Tide of Alabama. High tide, guys. High tide.
I love that.
I know. That's really good.
That's a good one.
I love that, dude.
There really aren't that many words to the Who song.
So with Tommy Reese being from Alabama.
It's a boy.
Let's find us a quarterback time. We might as well think Crimson Tide, should we not?
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
When Tommy was at Alabama, his quarterback, Jalen Milroe, he's coming out in the draft. You know, that's not who we're talking about today.
Oh, wait, are we talking about Tommy? Because the Who called Tommy's name 24 times in that song. Just,
We're gonna get to Jalen Milroe.
So frustrated.
There's another Alabama quarterback out there whose career has been a major disappointment, which could just put him on the radar for the Browns at quarterback. That's Mac Jones.
Mac the knife.
And Mac is a free agent. Why? Because, you know, if you're a first-round draft choice, you got a five-year deal, right?
Yeah.
You know, but there's an option on that fifth year. The Jacksonville Jaguars didn't pick it up after they traded for Mac Jones from the New England Patriots. Little background. Mac Jones turns 27 in September, so still a very young guy. Was the 15th pick in the 2021 draft to New England. And, you know, hey, good luck. You're following up Tom Brady. In 3 years with the Patriots, 1 year with the Jacksonville Jaguars, he's made 49 starts. So he has some experience. In first year, he's rookie. Went to the Pro Bowl and went 10-7 in New England. Passed for over 3,800 yards, 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Made the playoffs. You lost to the Bills in the wild card game. You think, great, we got our guy. But then Josh McDaniels left and went to the Raiders, and Jones and the offense regressed. It didn't go as well. And then in his third season, he made 11 starts. Bill Belichick is starting to show warts. And the Patriots went 2-9 in his 11 starts, and he was replaced at quarterback in New England by Bailey Zappi for the final six games, and the Pats went 2-4 in those. Now, a couple of things here. 8-17 with Jones as starter the last two seasons without Josh McDaniels, and apparently, according to reports, no communication with Bill Belichick at the end.
Really?
Albert Breer put out a scathing little response to a Hey Albert type of thing. And it said that Bill wouldn't even talk to Mac Jones. It also said Bailey Zappi would watch film in the wide receivers room because he and Mac Jones didn't get along at all, on or off the field.
Wow, you're really making me want this to happen.
Breer says this. I think the ideal for Jones is he lands somewhere, and this was when he was still in New England, that he lands somewhere in San Francisco as a backup. Everybody wants that Sam Darnold plan now, right? Mm-hmm. Get a year to learn, play if there's an injury, and then rebuild his name and reputation in the league. Here's the one that might get you. I think there's a good quarterback, like a Chad Pennington type, in there somewhere. Now, was Mac, and then he went to Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence got hurt. He ended up playing in Jacksonville and was okay, you know, this last year. Wasn't terrific, But the Jags stunk. He went 2-5, filling in for Trevor Lawrence, 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. But he says he regained his joy for football, playing in his hometown for his hometown team for Doug Peterson, who got fired.
Interesting.
He has 5 300-yard passing games in his career. I ask you this. You guys give me your thoughts, because this might be the key for any team jumping on Mac Jones and thinking he can be anything more than a guy who's just part of your position group. Was he the victim of the end of the Bill Belichick era?
That's a real possibility. I'll buy into that. I would buy that. Don't you?
I'm not sure. Josh McDaniels left.
Right.
And Mac Jones' play fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And New England fell off the face of the earth, and Bill got let go. You know, they could say it was mutual. Bill got let go. He's not leaving that gig unless he's basically told to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean Mac Jones could be somebody's viable starter?
No.
While they look for a young guy and maybe keep your fingers crossed that he becomes the next Sam Darnold?
No. I think he's a good backup for somebody somewhere down the road. If you need someone to get out there and get some starts for you.
And this is the
danger. He's not taking you to the playoffs.
This is the danger. Well, he did one team.
He's not taking you to the playoffs.
This is the danger of taking a quarterback in the first round, because you need a quarterback and he's the guy there in the first round.
Don't be desperate.
Do I think Mac Jones would be a great guy for the Browns to sign?
No, you don't.
That is correct.
I knew I could read it.
For $5 million as a backup?
But now, see, here's the thought, though. Say that again, Dan.
For $5 million as a backup, I've heard worse ideas.
That's the thought,
as a backup, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you have a starting quarterback you believe in that may have a hangnail every once in a while, he's the kind of guy I want to put in the game.
Or if I bring somebody in and go, all right, Mac Jones is starting for 8, and then we're putting a kid in. You could talk me into that.
He's a second-half preseason starting quarterback. That's who he is. You take the second half there. You got it, Mac.
I'm hard-pressed to think that Mac Jones is going to be a starting quarterback in the league moving forward.
No. He did go to the same high school as D. Brown, though.
If he...
High school.
The basketball player. His high school was loaded with professional sports athletes.
Won a dunk contest. Athletes.
The Bowls.
D. Brown won a dunk contest.
I think the name of the school is the Bowls.
Yeah.
Anything that starts with a "the" that's not the Ohio State University means you're spending a lot of money.
Do we have any "these" here? I can't think of any. Any high schools that start with a "the" here? No.
Does Laurel start with a "the"?
No, it's Laurel.
Okay. So there's Mac Jones, one of many veteran quarterbacks who's going to be available and may or may not be someone who you think, yeah, that guy might, that he could be the answer. I don't think he's going to be the answer.
But
he's worth talking about because he's available. And if the Browns decide to take somebody at 2, he might be a perfect guy who you bring in to be the backup quarterback, and he might end up seeing the football field at some point. You know, if you're competent, you could play a lot of quarterback in the NFL. Or better yet, pick up a lot of paychecks for not playing quarterback in the NFL. And Mac Jones might be on his way to a 10, 12-year career doing just that. You know, Mitch Trubisky, and I was hoping for more for Mitch. Mitch is on his way to that. He's going to make a lot of money and be in the league a very long time. He's back in Buffalo now as the backup quarterback. He didn't work out as a starter in Chicago, despite doing okay. But it didn't work. And Mac Jones didn't quite work in New England. And now he might be on the same path. But that doesn't mean you're not gonna be smiling on payday, does it? Hey, Dane Brugler's a local guy, Mountain Union guy. Does the Bible, the big draft thing.
Mm-hmm.
He has the Browns taking somebody that might make Baskin smile.
Oh, please say defensive end. Please say defensive end.
All right, so much for the drama. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
I'm begging. What are you talking about?
Chris will be co-hosting the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards coming up with Jay Crawford here in a little bit.
It's a boomerang for both those. Those guys have hosted it individually. Now
they're going to be together. That's lovely.
Maybe like Rowan and Martin.
I think that's great.
Give me a better.
Rowan and Martin.
Yeah.
Nice.
Give me a more modern.
Like version. Brooks and Dunn.
No. Something else.
John Mulaney and Nick Kroll.
There you go. Or Steve Martin and Martin Short.
There you go. That one, that's every generation.
That's more, that's more modern. A couple of 80-year-old guys, that's good.
Yeah, well, they're still hot. Okay? You know, tired of your act over there.
Thanks to their cool 30-year-old friend who hangs with them.
Yeah, that's true.
That's worked out well for all of them. Worked out real well.
Keeps them young.
Oh, that's Baskin. I'm Phelps. Dane Brugler has been on the show numerous times over the years, and Dane writes the Bible, the draft Bible. Dane needs to get out more. I love him. He puts in so much work on this.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to want to come out with us now, yeah.
Appreciate that, Jeff.
Dane knows. Dane worked so hard on this thing, it's ridiculous. It is the Bible when it comes to the draft. So I'm sure he'll be with us. You know, I'm looking out for him. He's a local guy. Want him to be able to get out more.
Didn't he work? He worked at Channel 10 for a while, or intern there, I think. He either interned or I may have interned for Keith.
Okay.
I thought I heard Keith
say Andy throwing out statements I know nothing about, so I hope you're right.
Oh, well, if Jeff doesn't know, then it can't be true.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I've Dustin told me this.
I'll have reckless speculation for $300.
And that's not our bit, dude. Don't be stealing other shows.
Can't have nice things.
Reckless speculation? Is that a bit?
Yeah, you don't want to walk down that road right now. Don't walk down the road.
I didn't know that was a bit.
The morning show bit. It's been for years.
What's it called?
Reckless speculation.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so there you go. I'm busy getting ready for our show.
I know you are, Jeff.
I don't have time to listen to those guys.
No, that's your
I go back and listen to it at 2:01 on their, you know, their emerging podcast.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyhow, our buddy Dane Brugler has the Browns taking at number 2, Andy. Abdul Carter, defensive end from Penn State.
Yes.
At least now he does. At least now he does. So that's a good thing, isn't it?
All in, man. That's a great call.
You think so?
Oh, did you watch him play in the playoffs? Did you see his last game?
Yeah, I think he's tough.
I think there wasn't a play I didn't see him around the ball.
Can he play quarterback?
I don't need him to play quarterback. Miles Garrett on one side, Abdul Carter on the other.
Story on Athlon Sports, his dream team, where he would love to play his pro football?
The Eagles.
Yeah.
It's from Philly, isn't it?
Yeah, he wants to stay in state, play for the Eagles. So that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. One of the fun things about this time of the year, and it just seems like, especially in college, you just see fans in the stands doing all kinds of things that it's pretty entertaining. Directors have just a blast cutting away to fan shots, either emotional shots caught up in the game or people going bananas. You know, there were some Ohio State kids going nuts the other day, and I thought...
Were they sitting in the free Taco Bell section?
I'm not sure where they were sitting, Andy, but I know they were going nuts and having fun. Minigan has stumbled across a fan who deserves our attention, if for no other reason than we should clothe him.
So, on the SEC Network last night, which is where this audio is from, they got in front of the Auburn fan section. Now, Auburn's been the number one team in the country in college basketball for a good period of time. Bruce Pearl hasn't been playing well. Good to see. Went up against up against Mississippi State, which will always hold a soft spot in my heart for our buddy Mike Leach. And so they decided to pull a fan out and have a conversation with him. And this fan was dressed in a bucket hat, had a delightful soup strainer, A+ soup strainer. Props to him for the mustache that he had.
Wait, what is soup strainer?
Yeah, mustache.
Oh, mustache. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, keep going. Yeah.
And was wearing a coconut bra. That's pretty much about it.
Todd.
Was it an actual coconut shell?
You know, Jeff, I wasn't there to to find out, so I can't tell you.
I'm sorry. Did you say, was it a natural or an actual coconut shell?
Actual.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you said a natural shell.
I was like, yeah.
Again, I did not see anybody ask this question. I did not see this research, and therefore I don't want to overstep my bounds on a man wearing a coconut bra.
Any dude decked out in a coconut bra deserves your attention.
It's a valid point, and boy, this guy got it. And this is audio courtesy of the SEC Network.
You're at home. What does it mean for you guys to be number one?
It means everything for Auburn to be number one. You know, we're out there for days, camping on the cold, hard concrete just to watch America's best college basketball team come in here and run the floor forever they're playing. Let me tell you, Auburn basketball is number one for a reason, because they got the heart, they got the will, they got the want to go out there and beat everyone that they play against.
All right, now let me ask you this. Hold on, people. So they say we in the jungle. So when I tell the jungle to go crazy, they should go crazy, correct?
Oh, we don't just go crazy. We go certified insane here in the jungle.
All right, let's test this out. Is this the jungle? Yeah!
sound like this might be.
Somebody get Captain Insano on the line, please. Vince McMahon, call for you on line three.
Captain Insano.
Props to him.
That dude was cooking.
For going through that whole thing. It didn't curse. Not That's a curse true. Set.
That was
That's beautiful.
He kept talking. I don't know why we're so into music and lyrics today. I don't know why I'm so into this, but you started talking about coconut, and all I can think about is the song Lime and the Coconut, right?
Oh, we don't just go crazy. We go certified insane.
Yeah.
Are you going to sing? Going?
Audio courtesy
no,
of the SEC
No, but
Network.
I didn't know what that song was about until I read the lyrics just now. I just thought it was a fun little song. There is meaning behind that song, Lime and the Coconut. You want me to clean it up for you?
Oh, I sure do.
Yes or no? If you don't, say no and I'll move on.
Oh, we don't just go crazy. We go certified insane.
I think that's enough for the segment, don't you?
Does anybody else know what Lime and Coconut song is about? I didn't no idea about this.
I'm not going to get pulled into a meeting because of your Googling.
Let's just say...
We already have a meeting today. I don't want it to have to go longer than it needs to be.
Let's just say the song
we'll
is
have
about
things to do.
An upset
Drive
stomach.
Waste to shovel.
It's about an upset stomach that could leave you in a restroom for a while. I'll leave it at that.
I want to share something with you. And
okay.
If people are in need, I get it. I understand it. When we drive into work, Andy, we come across this area, and there's a little island where... Pretty regularly, you see people there with signs,
and they're
asking for money. And,
well,
and
they were living there for a while.
Well, on one side of it, it became Tent City. There were like five tents and everything else, and these guys were, you know, just doing their thing and trying to live. And and they ended up getting apartments because they wrote on the sign. And
the back of the sign.
On.
Thank you. Bless you.
Well, there's been a guy there the last couple of days, and today he had somebody he was chatting with.
He said, why doesn't Baskin and Phelps have T-shirts?
It said that.
Coconut bras.
So I was on our call actually. We're chatting, and this gentleman is holding up a sign, but he was wearing a nice winter coat. He had on a nice hat. Mm-hmm. His beard was well trimmed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was decked out. He had great winter gear,
right?
And he had a cup of coffee with a lid.
Mm. Okay.
And I thought, if you're asking folks for help. Maybe you shouldn't look like you don't need it. He was decked out. Now, maybe people have helped him.
Maybe.
But he had a well-trimmed beard. And I just thought, I had a buddy, I mentioned that too, and he went, well, he's good at what he does. I thought, that's a pretty good line.
Probably. This for-
but you should dress the part, right?
Right.
But the dude was decked out.
Oh,
look good.
Good for him.
So good for him. Yeah, I guess it's
look good.
I guess it's working out okay for him.
Feel good, play good.
I guess that's the way to go.
I'll buy
but
that.
But it's pretty cold, so if you need some help, I hope you
get remind
some.
Me of the story of me almost being on the grand jury. Did I ever tell you that? I think I've told the story on this before.
Oh, I can't wait.
Do you want it now or no?
Oh, I sure do.
So a couple years ago, I got called into our county's grand jury, and they were doing selections. I don't know, is this legal for me to tell this? I think it is. I don't think it matters. Does it?
I don't know.
Dan,
I don't know,
along with hating Mike McCarthy, Dan's a lawyer on his side business.
Oh, good.
I
didn't realize
business.
That.
Yeah.
Hire a better lawyer.
Did you go to Matchbook University? Does that even exist anymore? Can't really find a good school accredited by a matchbook anymore, can
frankly,
you?
Frankly, what's some out of you is probably about where I graduated
That's
from when
bad.
It comes
nice.
To law.
So I'm in the room, and there must have been, there must have been 300 people in the room. Because they're trying to select grand jury, right? This isn't just regular jury going for a week. You got to sit for a while. You got to listen to cases and see if people are going to get indicted. That's the whole thing behind grand jury, right? So they go around the room, and all the jurors have numbers, and the judge is in the room, and they're talking to everybody. And then they're like, is there anyone who thinks anyone need to be excused? So, you know, I raise my hand, and I'm like, how am I going to do the show? If I'm...
Do the show.
How am I going to do
that,
our show?
I'm sure that goes over well with a grand jury.
Well, and I said... I've
got a show.
I would like to do my civic duty
as a citizen
of the United States.
From Baskin and Phelps.
And I would be more than happy to be on this grand jury. Unfortunately, making the $4 a day doesn't really help support a family of four. And it would be detrimental to my fiscal well-being to have to sit on this grand jury for a couple days. And so, I mean, there
were
people.
Or a couple months, right?
Yeah, a couple, possible. Yeah, right. And I'm like, I'm not, Like, I was like, I almost raised my hand and said, call my dad. He's retired.
That's what I'm hoping to do in retirement.
This is my dad's dream job, is to sit on a grand jury. You know, he'd think he'd be on, what's the show you like?
Law and Order.
Law and Order, right? And put my dad, and he would have been so thrilled if he could have got that honor. So they're going around the room, and they're like, juror number 16, why can't you be on this grand jury? And, you know...
Why can't I? Because I'm Andy Baskin.
No, so this, you know, juror number 16 gets up and says, I am a kindergarten teacher. We are just about to start school.
Aww.
This isn't conducive.
So something of value.
Yeah, this isn't conducive to
then there's us.
Trying to educate children for me to be sitting in here for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
And the juror doesn't say anything.
She get dismissed? Right? Was it a she?
Yeah, she did, actually. She
all right,
did.
Good, okay. Good. I'm glad
so
for
then
her.
I'll fast forward this a little bit more. So good, then they good. Come to me.
Good.
And this is in front of like 250 people. And the judge goes, juror number 47. Let's just say I'm 47. And they're like, juror number 47, why can't you do this? I'm like, unfortunately, I do a radio show in Cleveland, and it's difficult for me to get here, and the financial ramifications.
You get a ding? You know,
no, and so
did the judge hit a ding?
The judge got a little snippy with me. I'm not going to lie. Why is it so important for you to be doing this radio show? And I go, well, it's not. I understand it's my civic duty.
Because I don't want to leave Phelps by himself.
No, and she said,
I don't want to dump that on Northeast Ohio.
Well, she said, she goes, what's the name of the show? And I go, Baskin and Phelps. And she said, what do you do on the show? I go, I'm the Baskin, and it's hard to do Baskin and Phelps without the Baskin part of it.
I don't know. Dan and I do just fine.
And so it was interesting. Yeah, it's true. You guys do okay without me. Maybe I would have been better off. Maybe I could have helped out the community better by sitting on that grand jury. So what was interesting was, so whoever was like, an attorney, whoever was on her staff, leaned over to her and explained to her that he had heard the show before. Just leave it at that. The best, though, was right after me, right, Jeff? She turns, and I understand that this is an affliction, and it's not good, and I feel bad for people that have this, because I really do. But in the moment, it was unbelievable. The person in front of me said, juror number 94. Juror number 94, why can't you be on this grand jury? And the guy goes, unfortunately, I have narcolepsy, and it's very difficult for me to stay awake, especially if I have to sit here for a long time. And I'm like, wow, man.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. I go, but then I looked at the person next to me, and I said, he's got to sell it.
You needed him to fall asleep right then.
I needed the guy to go, I'm sorry, unfortunately, Your Honor, I have narco.
And she said, oh, you listen to Baskin and Phelps.
Someone's going to come and get him.
Oh, man. I was like, but he got dismissed too, so I'm glad he was able to do that. And the teacher got dismissed, and so did I.
Hey, Chris Rose is going to join us next. Chris, thoughts on Tommy Reese? Can't wait for that. I also want an update on Chris's living situation in Los Angeles, because when he was with us last week, it wasn't good.
No.
It's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.